Our guest, Angel Marie, felt something was off with her partner. But being her open and kind self, she just brushed it off and did her best to keep peace in the relationship until the unthinkable happened and changed her life forever. Angel is an example of living a life full of joy, zest, and shine. Now you can discover how to generate and create all of that for yourself. Be sure to listen to the end for some extra juicy ahas from Angel Marie. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Angel Marie is often called a walking antidepressant to those who are in her presence. You'll pick up on her enthusiasm and zest for life and want to grab some of it for yourself. Her lessons are many, and each one will help you find your path to empowerment, value, and becoming a shining example of your life. We're going to talk with Angel Marie in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. You can live your life blaming others, blaming yourself, or allowing others to blame you. These are choices you make. You may not be aware that they are choices, but let me tell you, that's not living your life. That's existing. That's letting life happen to you. I already did that most of my life, letting life happen to me, and I just lived a life of reacting. Like my guest today and all my guests, they had a choice to make, and you do too, each and every day. So I want you to think about this. Ask yourself, how do you want to show up? Blaming others and yourself keeps you in a victim mode. And it's not that you have lost your power. You have actually given your power away. You can't blame others or yourself and be empowered at the same time. You can choose to stop blaming the other person as a reason for why you can't live the life you desire. Yes, they are responsible for what they did to you. Absolutely and 100%. But you are responsible for your life now, this moment, right now. How can you turn it around? Ask yourself, how did that person's behavior force me to look at myself? That could be tough, especially if you were a child. But still, you're living today, right now. I want you to think about it right now. Not before. So listen, what if you step way back? How can you look at this situation with new eyes? Looking at yourself deeply is, is really challenging and very uncomfortable, and that's why most people won't do it. It's easier to avoid and blame. It's easier to avoid and ignore the life they're creating now instead of seeing it that if they make one new observation, one new lesson, that it could change the trajectory of their life. You can change the trajectory of your life right now when you decide to take this leap. When I left my husband, I wasn't even thinking about any lessons I had that I learned. Nothing. I was only thinking of getting freedom for my young adult daughter and myself. I wanted out from that torture and torment that I was experiencing daily. And let me tell you, it was only after a lot of reflection, a lot of deep healing, and after years of tears and yearning to create my life and being guided by mentors and coaches and spiritual leaders and a higher power, did I come to understand the lessons that I had shoved down, I didn't want to acknowledge. One of those lessons was, use your voice, Rosie. Use your voice. For a quarter of a century of my life, I mean, when I say it like that, it's horrible. A quarter of a century of my life, my voice was muted. Then I learned to mute my own voice. I became meek. I had to learn to speak my truth. I had to learn to show up as myself. I had to learn who myself was. Now, let me tell you, transformation sucks when you're in the middle of it. It's painful. You may feel more lost than before. It's like, wait a minute. I thought you told me, Rosie, that this is going to feel good. Well, it will, but only when you come out the other side. I'm laughing because I remember telling people, I go, this sucks. And I go, yeah, it does. So if you just kind of know that going in, but as long as you keep challenging yourself to live a full life, when you get there, when you've really captured that lesson, it's going to be like, I don't know, dancing joyfully in a meadow of flowers under a warm blue sky or something that makes you go crazy and feel good about yourself. This is your freedom journey to be 100% you. Wow. And that is how you get your power back. When you are you, when you take ownership of the life you want to lead, that's what it's all about. And taking ownership, as a reminder, does not mean that you take ownership of what somebody did to you. It's taking ownership of how you want to create your life now. And no matter how bad it was, you can do this. You can end blaming yourself. You can end blaming the other person. You can end blame in your vocabulary. And look now deeply into yourself and say, what must I learn? Maybe like me, you need to learn to use your voice. You need to learn to find your freedom journey to be 100% you. And you can do it. So are you up? Here's your question. Are you up to the challenge to create the life that deep down you truly desire?
The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com.
You're in for a treat with our guest, Angel Marie, a lightworker, Reiki master, and empowerment coach who shines a light on life and on you so that you can discover the light within, know your truth, and live joyously, just like she does. Angel Marie, you will be here in a moment. And first,
thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal?
Now, let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Angel Marie. I'm so thrilled that you're joining me today. And I just want to let our listener know how wonderful you are. Ever since she was a small child, Angel Marie has been a beacon of light. Now, you can't, if you can't see her, just trust me. She's a beacon of light right now. She has been called a walking antidepressant. Angel Marie has immersed herself in learning about energy, mindset, and healing. She is a Reiki master, empowerment coach, master speaker, author of 2 national best-selling books, and creator of the Shine On movement. Angel Marie's passion for over 20 years is teaching others how to energize their lives, be more joyous, have more confidence, and experience freedom to live their fullest, happiest life. Change your mindset, energize your life, and shine on.
Yes, yes.
Welcome, welcome. We're going to shine on with Angel today.
Well, thank you, Rosie, so much for having me, and also for all of you that are listening. Just take a seat. This is going to be really awesome for you to just step into to really nurture yourself.
Yeah. Thank you. Because, and that's what this is all about on the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, is really taking, you know, hearing the journey when you were vulnerable and how you transformed yourself to feeling valuable and really showing up in the world as you are today. So why don't you give our listener a little bit of a background of your history?
I have many, actually. I almost died not only once, not only twice, not only 3 times, but 4 times. And in those times, we're just going to fast forward to one. One of those times was when my partner at the time was diagnosed with bipolar, with not understanding all of this and being in a place where we were younger. It wasn't like it is today, where mental health is so, you have the avenues. We had no avenues. But for me, I had been with her for so long that what happened was it didn't change anything for me. And that was the interesting part of it, was it was like I was frozen.
So tell our listener a little bit, what is bipolar? What, you know, some of the things of bipolar, so we kind of understand. And what do you mean, like you were frozen? It didn't change anything for you. So those are like 2 questions.
Because I was with her for so long. Mm-hmm. And then when it was diagnosed, so I was used to the slamming of the doors to all of a sudden the chaos. It would be very calmly watching TV, and then all of a sudden something just little would happen. And then it was heightened unbelievably, like this big drama. And I would just make fun of it and go, why are we getting all upset about it? But yet the energy, everything was shifted in the whole house. And then the slamming of the doors, I think one of the biggest parts was just how all of a sudden she would just pop off. And I call it that way because we'd be having this conversation like we're having. Then all of a sudden it'd be like this anger of, you're not doing it. And it would completely shift. It was like, wait, what just happened? Why are we talking about something 2 days ago when we were just... So that's what I mean by I was used to that. And for me, it was just the way it was.
I see. Oh, that's interesting. So kind of the bipolar is like all of a sudden, just like maybe the snap of your finger, flip of the switch, you just popped off. And then all of a sudden, this person is just like, just blow it off. And it's like, it's out of the blue. Of course, you don't know what it is, but you had been living this life with her and just taking it and just thinking, well, that was just kind of normal, right? Did you feel uncomfortable when that was happening? Or was just like, you just accepted that was who she was?
You know, I really accepted who she was, except for when we would be out with friends and something would happen and it would be like over the top. For me, I would look and say, okay, that's a little bit too much there. Let's just calm it down. That's a little drama. Didn't you think that was a little drama? And sometimes she would remember it. Sometimes she wouldn't. And that's when I started to really go, wait a minute. And because I had been in a relationship that was a violent one before that, that's what I'm saying about frozen. And I say frozen for another thing. When I was sexually abused also, that's a whole nother story. But when that happened also, I was frozen. I couldn't tell anyone and I couldn't do anything about it. And I allowed it. So that's what I felt with her.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I think this is really common. I mean, I too felt frozen. I couldn't move. It's just like, I wanted to move. I felt like I had like cement shoes on. And I just like, I wanted to move. And it's like, but I couldn't. Isn't it interesting how our brains make us react? You know, we have, there's flight, fight, fear, you know, the fear, the, you know, if you're in fear, you know, flight, fight, or flee. But, you know, I was frozen. I couldn't move either. And I think that's really interesting because a lot of people wonder how you're going to react in that. But then you said she was diagnosed with bipolar. And then what happened?
Well, let me just back up. Well, because of that frozen feeling, I believe, and maybe you agree too, is when you become frozen, after you unfreeze in the situation, it's you deny it. And that's what I just totally denied it. And that's what that frozen means to me too. Mm. Because I kept denying it. Oh,
that can't be happening. It just,
no, you know,
not
it's
real.
It's,
yeah, it can't be. I also went through denial. When I first realized I was in an abusive relationship, what he wasn't bipolar, I was like, I'm going to fix this. This is not happening to me, right? That was my reaction. This is not happening. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make it all right. Were you trying to kind of make it right and do whatever you could to, you know, show up in that relationship?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I even wanted to go to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was no counseling. Oh, no, she didn't want to go to counseling.
Right.
And that was the first key. But back then, we didn't always have counseling. And it was very, it was different then because we didn't have the education. We really didn't. So it was in secrecy. And especially back then, 20 years ago, too, you're looking at, you didn't tell people you were even together with another woman. There was no way.
Yeah.
Because
so
the shame of that.
You had a double difficulty, right? First of all, you know, people and, you know, women in these relationships feel a lots of shame because they feel they're blamed. Then you had on top of that hiding shame. Oh my gosh, I'm in with a woman. So, you know, I can't tell anybody. So you had so little support.
Oh, I had no support. There was no one I could really talk to because I didn't want my friends to know because they were watching it. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but yet sometimes it got really over the top.
Yeah. And I wonder too, you know, you said we allow it. I think, you know, in retrospect, I did, but I didn't feel like I was allowing it at the time. And, you know, that was much later did I understand that. But I wonder if I see you, and I'm speaking for myself, you know, we're kind people, you know, you're very giving and loving. And I don't think that has ever changed in your character. I don't think you just became that lately. I think that feels like that's your essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know, you tell me, it's like, we would just make excuses for their behavior because we, you know, they had good parts, right? It wasn't like they were all horrible.
And that's a great one too. And I want to acknowledge and say, thank you for that, Rosie, is that that is the essence. And the essence is, oh, that's just her. And it's okay. I can live with this. But what happened was it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And the acting out got worse. And then it got to the point where she started where I'd never see her. Like she would go to work and she'd stay there 14, 15, 16 hours. Because she couldn't handle it. She couldn't handle me saying, whoa, 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 wait, what just happened? Why are we feeling this way? What's going on? And then to all of the things that were happening inside of her, and I can feel energy. And even back then I could feel energy and I was like, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally adored. I did. I adored and loved so much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to let that go because I wanted to make it right.
Yes, you wanted to make it right. I love that because it's such a common thing that we want to do. We want to make it right because we see the good thing in that person. Yeah. So how did it progress then, the relationship and what happened to you?
Well, how it really progressed is we ended up going to Europe to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is way back when it doesn't mean, but we went to Europe to go get married. And when we went to Europe, she disappeared. She like totally disappeared, like left. Like we got off the ship in France And she, like, we couldn't find her for a day. And she couldn't remember where she was.
Oh.
And that's when it was like, what's going on here? And this is not part of bipolar. This was just part of her checking out because of the bipolar, of the actions. This is what I understood from healthcare and later on. So mm-hmm. that's when it really started. We ended up getting married on the ship in Italy, actually, and getting married, having a great time, getting home. And then what happened was, is then she went to work. And when she went to work with that ring on, being 6'2", blonde, blue-eyed, very feminine, and people saying, where have you been for 10 days on a cruise all over Europe? Mm. Now you come back with a ring on. What's going on? And what happened was the shame and the illness. So she started lying and acting out.
Oh, because she couldn't say, I married a woman, for God's sakes, not back then, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no. So she started lying. So she started making more things up. And it started getting to the point where it was so convoluted, I couldn't even have a conversation. And for me, I was crumbling inside because I'm watching the love of my life, really, and society and what society was at that time. And also her own self, obviously, and my family and some of her family, actually. Because we told some people, and it was like, it was the worst thing we could have ever done.
Oh.
And that struggle within me and the loneliness was the hardest thing. And being previously diagnosed with lupus, fibromyalgia, arthritis, and Sjogren's, and I don't own those, I just say diagnosed still to this day, mm-hmm. yet then it flared everything up. Why? Because I was so emotional.
Yeah.
And it flared everything. So I was getting sicker, physically sick now, emotionally sick.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And again, just like all of the, I just can't even imagine. I mean, what is our work now is to help find our own authentic self and help others find their own authentic self, right? And this is your story is such a great example of what happens to a human being who can't have her own authentic self on so many multiple levels.
So true. I mean, she didn't have a voice. She never had her own voice.
Yeah. So she was suffering big time as on top of her. So she was suffering because of the shame of, oh, I'm with a woman. She was suffering because she had bipolar and didn't know what that was. She is suffering because, I mean, even today, there's more talk of mental illness, but it still has such a long ways to go. And, so it's just, this is such a great topic to really bring it even, you know, more out in the open of what people go through, the shame of hiding. As soon as you start to shame, you know, it's that hiding thing. I did the same thing. I was married for almost 25 years. I was in a 25-year relationship and only three people knew of my relationship after I'd been married for 18 years. Then I told my brother and my two best friends who were in the United States. I was living overseas. I was in such shame, I told nobody. And I only told them because that was when I found out that I was in an abusive relationship. I didn't even know that before. Just trying to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just trying to hide. And I remember that because it felt like she was going farther away. And I kept grabbing and saying, come back, come back. Mm-hmm. And yet I couldn't. And now I understand energy so much better. I understand that she wasn't in reality. Mm-hmm. She was barely grasping that reality. And I remember one specific night is she was laying in bed and I was on the couch because we had a really big master room. And I was on the couch in the room and she started talking in her sleep. And it was just like this really crazy stuff. I mean, it was just really off the cuff. And I remember sitting there and not wanting to go and wake her up and say, you're okay, you're safe, you're here, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Because I knew it wasn't going to help. And I sat on that couch and I turned the TV up because I was watching TV because she was great at sleeping with TV on. But I turned it up and I was in tears and I knew that it was the end, that there was nothing I could do. And there was no way she was going to go see anyone because that's how much shame she was in. And just the next day, what happened? And we had just gotten back from getting married out of Europe, mm-hmm. just like 3 days before that. We had just finished having the big celebration at my dad's house, because my dad was really cool. Mm-hmm. And he had all the presents. And what happened? She woke up and she said, get out. And it was vital. It was, get out. I don't want to be with you. And that was my house, actually. Mm. But it was in her name. But I paid for it. Very interesting.
Yes.
And it was, get out. And the thing was, and if you hit some, many of you don't see me, but I'm only like 5'1", 5'2". So she's 6'3", kind of a bigger lady. So, and I knew, I could see the crazy that it was, there was nothing there. So I left. I got some of my things together. Most of it I left and I got out. Mm-hmm. And the sad part about it was what I went through. I started counseling. I started to go and see energy healers. I started to, because first of all I did is beat myself up. Mm-hmm. But then what happened was she ended up killing herself.
What a tragedy.
It was a tragedy. I mean, and when that happened, and then she left me in the will the same amount of money for the house. She didn't leave me the house, but she left the money that I put down on it to get into that house. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. But the thing was when that happened, it was days before, one day before she called and said, let's get back together. And I was like, what? What's happening? So I put myself through everything and struggled with, did I kill her? Because I said, no, we can date. Well, you got to go see counseling. We got to go through counseling because we can't go through this again. And you're the love of my life. Yeah, but yet I'm not doing this again. And the next day she took her life. And in the will, she wrote. And so, I mean, and then, oh my gosh, Rosie, then we found all the journals. I had never even knew she had journals. Never even knew it for years. And all in the journals talked about how crazy she was going through and what she was going through.
So she was hiding all of that.
Even from me.
You. Yeah, right. Because, gosh, shame is such a killer. I really believe that. I feel like I would have, not that I would have killed myself. Well, I might have. I was on the verge of that. But just like how we destroy our own lives because of the shame, because, really how the feeling of humiliation or whatever it is that what we think people are going to say, that we have to hide who our true essence is. You know, it's just our own mind just think, oh, we can't take it. And I mean, and here, two lives were really strongly affected. Have you gone through the process of no longer feeling like you're the cause, that you caused her to take her life? I mean, you've processed that.
I didn't have anyone really to speak with.
Right.
That really knew what the struggle was with her. Mm-hmm. So yes, she killed herself. We had the memorial. All the friends came that I knew. Yes. So they were all there, but I still did not tell them
what
really happened to her because I was still in shame.
Mm-hmm.
So your question is how long did it take me? Well, it took a while. I started going through counseling because I could feel that all of the immune system diseases that I'm diagnosed with was emotionally. It was taking me down every day. I was getting sicker and sicker. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm eating right. I'm usually way up. I'm always energetic. What is happening? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that emotionally that it was breaking me down.
Yeah, this is such an important point. I think a lot of women don't always connect the dots between their emotional health or lack of emotional health, or the emotional turmoil that they're going through, and the physical or other health issues that they're actually having. They just think they just have it. That's separate. And the emotional thing is separate. They're not putting that those two things go together. I mean, even, if your hair, my hair started to go really limp. It was just like, besides other things, but it's just, there's lots of things that can happen to the body because of your emotional stress. So take us a little bit on your path to what I'll call maybe recovery or really starting to find, your authentic voice and how your health is now. And
well, what really happened was, I started going through the counseling. mm-hmm. which was really helpful because I was actually able to tell somebody.
Yeah. What a relief.
And feel safe. And that's the thing is, you know, I do coaching also. And most women, we don't feel safe at all. We just don't. Mm-hmm. And it's because of our past, but it's because of our shame.
Yes.
And it's big time. So going through counseling helped, but what really helped also was being able to physically go and do some things like riding bikes, being able to go out. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful to me. And also finding a group to be in. Mm-hmm. And the group wasn't necessarily about mental health, not back then. It was a group of just ladies that wanted to get together to have fun. And it was all types of women. It wasn't just, so that helped because you know as well as I do, women love to just talk and it came out and it started to come out that some of them were having some of the same issues. And I was able to hear those. And the big part was I was able to accept, okay, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And was it really, can I really kill someone else or can I really change and shift and transform somebody else when they're going through such mental turmoil? And that's when I started to realize that I couldn't really save anyone. And once I really stepped into going, wait, what about me? And that's what happened was like, all I did was focus on what I could have, should have.
All detrimental words, yes. You know, that's beating yourself up, right? You know, like, I should have known, I should have seen this. Why didn't I do this? You know, of course, hindsight's great, right?
I mean, even getting phone calls from her mother and saying, why didn't you see this? It's right here in their journals. I mean, I didn't even know she had journals. Yeah. That's how secretive she
is. Yeah, first you're blaming yourself and then getting blamed by others. Yeah.
I was getting blamed by everyone.
I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them. And we're back with Angel Marie, Reiki Master and Empowerment Coach.
Everyone was blaming me that I should have done more. And who do I think it was? And what did I feel? Oh, me, it broke me, started breaking me down.
Even further.
And you know, the emotions and the emotional peptides, those neural nets are actually more powerful than what you think. It's what you really feel. And the feeling was I missed her. You know, I missed that love, that mm-hmm. friendship, but yet the emotion was, it's my fault. It's my fault. Mm. I'm the worst person. And then of course, I'm a bad person. I'm a dirty person and I'm a deviant because I'm gay.
Yeah.
I mean, I had both.
Yeah. How many more things, right? I was like, well, I can't. And then no support. But I think it's good that this is a strategy. I mean, this is, you know, a thing. It's like you went out into a group just to be with other women, just having that support of another human voice, women don't, you know, it's not healthy to be alone.
Oh.
Right. And then you realize that in the group that you weren't alone in all of your thinking, some of it obviously, but you saw similarities. And then it's like, oh, I'm not the only one experiencing something of this general topic, right?
Yes.
What else can you share that some of the things that helped you get back to your shining light?
I think one of the biggest ones, and I still teach it today, is being able to tap my heart and say, how do I feel? Mm-hmm. How do I feel? Is it valid? And it's okay to ask yourself, don't ask somebody else, but asking myself, is it valid the way that I feel? Not what I think, because that keeps me in that fear and struggle. But how do I feel about this? How do I really feel about how do I want to move forward? Mm-hmm. How do I feel? Am I really the light? Am I really can move forward? Can I love again? How do I feel about that? How do I feel about being vulnerable again? Mm-hmm. And stepping into. And then the biggest and the other part was doing this tapping and taking the time and doing the breathing, the belly breathing, which is so helpful to get me out of fight or flight. I mean, and everybody, you know how to do that fight or flight breath that will help you.
Absolutely. Yet,
it helped me to have an accountability partner. And it was one lady that helped me. And what she did is she said, I want you to write. And that's when I really started. And to this day, I still do the journaling. And you may not like journaling. I understand it because it can bring things out. But when you sit and say, I'm going to get honest with you, Angel Marie. And I say my name, get honest with you, Angel Marie. And tell me how you really feel about this. How do you really feel about it? Yeah. And then I would start writing and crying, but I would have a timer. So it wouldn't go on for hours and hours. It did at the beginning, but then it got shorter and shorter. And being able to turn it into a story is the, and you know what I'm saying, Rosie, because now yours is a story. It has emotion attached to it, but it doesn't have such a deep attachment emotionally that it breaks you all the way down.
Right. Yeah, of course. You know, I wouldn't be able to do this work if I was still in the deep pain of it. You know, I've gone beyond that. Not that I don't get triggered every now and then, but now the triggers, before the triggers would take me down, I'd be out for weeks sometimes, it curled up in the fetal position on my bed crying. You know, now it's like a blink of an eye. It's like, oh brother, you know, that kind of a thing. But maybe 5 minutes, but rarely am I really taken down. But it's interesting. Those are really good ideas. To me, I was, and I told you, nobody knew for 18 years. And I would write because I had nobody to talk to. I was in a foreign land, and no relatives, you know, again, the shame. And so I wrote a journal. And that was my lifesaver, just to be able to express my thoughts. And I wrote it as if I was talking to somebody, you know, to hear me. Unfortunately, those journals are lost. I don't know where they are when I had to move, but
you're not supposed to have that energy around you.
Yeah, that's why I didn't need the energy, right? I think maybe it's on some flash drive that I can't even open. I don't know where it's at. But I think that's, it's really just, it's good to get it out. And I love your method of just tapping into your heart, you know, how do I feel, you know, and saying your name, really tapping in and saying your name. I think that's such a good thing because it also, when you do that, you know, you're grounding yourself, right? You're grounding yourself. And it's like, you know, you're keeping that presence right here. Mm-hmm. And my daughter has complex PTSD because she grew up with it and she has, you know, challenges of getting grounded. And I know a lot of other people do too. And sometimes they disassociate. And so I just say, hey, we're here. And, you know, you're here on the sofa, you're here. And just to really get the presence, and that can really happen.
It really does. It does help to tap, because just the tapping actually helps the blood flow in the nervous system to calm down. And that's scientifically proven. Mm-hmm. And using your first and middle name, ladies, is powerful, because your last name is either ex-husband, your dad's. It's not your name. It's the vibrational field of your first and middle is mm-hmm. powerful. Gentlemen, use your first and last name, your first and middle and last name, because that is your whole name. Mm. So understand that is a vibrational thing, because I'm way in the vibration and understanding, because when there's a trigger, which the trigger is usually the trigger that I get is someone slams the door, because that was
happening all the time. Right.
And you know that slamming the door puts you immediately, everybody in fight or flight. It does. And that's proven. Mm-hmm. Any loud noise. So when the slamming of the door happens, I immediately stop and take a deep breath. And I do what I call the shine on shake, where I just move all over and go, ah, let it go, let it go, let it go. I'm safe. I'm safe. Mm-hmm. I'm safe. And even today at almost 59 years young, I'm still doing that, because that loud noise triggers that memory. And I always say is we have issues in our tissues. You never release the issue. You never will, because it's energy, but you can change the form of it. And that's what these things are, to help you ground, to help you to write and to speak, and sometimes just dance it out.
Yeah, I love all those. And I think I've done all of them. You know, I just like, you know, keep doing all of them. And I think it's just so important to keep sharing those techniques over and over again, because, you know, people forget or they didn't know. It's like, and that's what I love about doing this podcast, is that everyone shares something that's a little bit different. It's like, oh, maybe that's the one that's going to work for me, right? And your techniques are just so grounding. I think that's probably more than anything else. And, you know, getting to feeling safe and everything else. One thing there's that I like to share when I learned it is that there's a big difference. And I didn't know this in the beginning, right? Like the trigger, you know, a difference of being in danger and being in fear, right? So maybe I'm afraid, but I'm not in danger anymore. That's the gap which causes the trigger, right? Because now I'm not in danger. He's not really there. She's not really there slamming the door. There's nobody really who's going to, you know, slam the door and leave, or slam the door and do something else. They're not really there. So you're not in real danger, but you have the fear from the trigger. And so learning that was huge for me. It's like, okay, I'm not really in danger. I am really safe. Just tapping into that as well was really helpful for me.
Beautiful. And if I could, I went another one that was really helpful to me, and I still do it today, is I write myself a letter. Mm-hmm. And I put, "Dear Angel Marie, beautiful, shining light, you are." And I say it all as "you are, you have, you are this." And I write a whole letter. Then I put it in an envelope. I put my address on it, and I give it to a friend. And I say, "Mail this in the next 2 weeks. It can be tomorrow. It could be in a week." And it never fails. I will get that letter. And I'm like, that's my writing. And I've completely, but I open that up. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it helps me to remind myself, mm-hmm, that I am that light, that I'm worthy of love. And I do write that, because after that happened, it was quite a while. And now it's been almost 15 years that I have not dated anyone. Mm-hmm. Was it because of that? No, it isn't. I'm going to say no. But yet I still am in a place where I get triggered every now and then with that feeling of, maybe I'm not lovable. Maybe I'm not. So I'm saying to you, you'll go back, and I understand it, but there's things to keep working on that will help you in the writing and the breathing. It helps so much.
It does. It really does. And if I can offer you, if you don't mind, about the lovable, I can offer you a thought. It's just something to consider. And that is, you are lovable no matter what. Yeah. And your lovability has nothing to do with you. Your lovability has to do with the person loving. It's their lovability. Their ability to love is what matters. So you're always lovable.
Well, that's beautiful, Rosie. Thank you. Yes. 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 You really are in the highest level. We are. It's what we think. And again, what we think, not what we feel. And I always say that this is the three worst words you can use. I was thinking, because it does keep you in that. It really keeps you in that.
Yeah.
And my students get upset with me because they'll say, "Well, I was thinking," and I go, "Thought," and they're like, "Oh, I feel like," and then they stop and go, "Whoa, that changes the whole." Yes, it really does. How do you really feel about it?
Yeah. So this has been fabulous. We could go on. Maybe we'll have another time for part two or something. But how can, you know, you've shared so many fabulous things. How can our listener find out more about you?
Well, they can go ahead and just go to my website, angelmarieshines.com.
Angelmarieshines.com. Fabulous. And it'll be in the show notes too.
Yes. And it's also another one is lightworkersgifts.com also.
Okay, great.
So you can find me in either one of those. I'm all over social media. You just do hashtag shine on and you'll find me.
Do you have a gift? Some little bird told me there was a gift that you have.
I do. You know, I do angel card reading. And what they are is that They're card readings that help you on a focus word. So it's not just because my name is Angel. They're really, they're cards, but then also I do readings out of my book, The Shine On book, and it's 52 secrets for greater success and higher self-esteem. And there's 52, so you just take one. And what I do is I help you to perceive your life differently in this reading. I don't like to always say reading because it might turn people, but it's more about coaching, and it gives you tips like I gave today. Mm-hmm. It gives you really great secrets and things to get through your life when you have those blocks in your life or you're feeling stuck. And that's what I'd love to offer everyone, because I always find that after they go through that, they feel better. And they're like, wow, I didn't see my life like that, or I didn't see this. And it just takes one other person to say, look at it this way and create this in your life. So that's what I'd love to offer.
Oh, thank you. And that link will be also in the show notes. So make sure you look for those there. And finally, Angel, what does love is kind mean to you?
Love is kind. Now, I'm all into vibration. So love is 528. Joy is above that. Appreciation and gratitude is actually above that frequency-wise. Kindness to me is right in the middle of that joy and right in the middle of that being really grateful for your life. Mm-hmm. And being kind starts with yourself. And that's my big one, is that's what love means to me, is how I'm showing up authentically and having my voice. Mm-hmm. And then I have to bring in that love is kind is looking at my dog. Yes, my dog's name is Shine. And looking at her and how she shows up every single day, the same thing. And how she shows up with the kindness of what can I do? What can I do? Always being in that service. And how are you serving you and accepting you? That's the kindness. And to say, like I'm tapping again my heart, my chest, and saying, how am I really being kind to you, Angel Marie? And I say it. Are you being kind? Have you eaten? Have you taken that walk? Have you gotten out from behind the screen? That's what that kindness means to me. Because love sometimes can be very skewed, can it?
Yes, yes.
And it really can. So the kindness is that joy on a different frequency level to stay in. I know what joy feels like. I know, and I can create it like that. But to feel the love, a little different. So that's what I would say is that's what love is, kindness. It's really shining your light and showing up.
I love it. I mean, that is, I just love it because on so many levels, I have many different versions of it. You know, real love is kind. It's not hurtful or harmful or whatever, not terrorizing. And then I often say, you deserve to be treated with kindness, and it starts by being kind to yourself. That's where it starts. And so we're right exactly on that same plane there, and we know what that really means. So this has been so fabulous to have you here to share. We appreciate you being vulnerable and showing how you became and helping others become valuable. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Rosie. Thank you. And everybody, keep shining on.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.